You know, I had read about Jensen, and I had been doing a project that included him, and the project was another one of those sort of failed TV show things where it was a great idea and it didn't happen, but out of it came the story of Jensen, and when I read that his landscapes for the city of Chicago were created in the spirit of democracy, with a great sort of leveling feeling that he interpreted when he came to the United States, that this is what he was looking for. And I found out about his work to preserve the land at the Indiana Dunes, to save it from becoming a giant steel mill. And I knew that he had come from Denmark, where he was not able to marry the woman that he wanted to because she was below his station, so to speak. You know, all those things, you know, that a man would come here penniless and not speak the language and be able to rise to become the dean of landscape architects and a conservation hero, which is such an appealing story. You know, we need conservation heroes now more than ever. And the fact that he was somebody that was really able to kind of rise up from the bootstraps and make things happen and how was just a great, great prescient story for, you know, inspiring people today who feel like they might be voiceless in the face of, you know, all the changes that are happening in our environment.
You know, when we think of the prairie style, and we hear that term a lot, we often think of people like Frank Lloyd Wright, much more mm-hmm. well-known, I guess, to the average person. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that Jensen worked with Wright, but landscape architects, they really don't get all the recognition that maybe that somebody that built a unique home or a skyscraper would get. So mm-hmm. so in some ways, he's not remembered in the same level. His work does rise to a point that people really should pay attention to what he did.
I feel like that, you know, Frank Lloyd Wright, yes, has achieved a kind of celebrity architect status, and he has for a century now. But those homes appear to be in a style that is from the past. You can say the same thing about people like Frederick Law Olmsted and Daniel Burnham, who are very well known because they, you know, their work had a footprint in many cities around the country. But they belong in a sort of Beaux-Arts period that doesn't exist anymore. What exists now is the exact same issue of many people in a city not having access to park resources and fresh food as it did 100 years ago, and many people needing to get green space into their lives in order to make a better, more sustainable life. And those are the things that Jensen brings to the table. And maybe he's not as recognized as, you know, those titanic figures that we all know, but his message is so prescient to today that he really should be up there. And, you know, and maybe it took a century for us to realize how valuable that is. In a lot of ways, he is the Frank Lloyd Wright of landscape architecture, but in a way, he's so present day, I'd say, happening. He's studied all over the world by city planners, by environmentalists, by architects, by landscape architects. And it's time for his light to come out from underneath that barrel.
We're talking with Carrie Lundeen, director and co-producer of the film Jens Jensen, The Living Green. It's going to be shown on the UIS campus on Wednesday, June 4th in Brookins Auditorium. Well, and when we talk about Jens Jensen, we're also talking about the person who really had the vision for Lincoln Memorial Garden, which is such a wonderful place in central Illinois. We're talking about a place that that Jensen had that vision. He was able to make it a reality. Is that something that gets shown a lot in this film? Are you able to focus in any on the garden itself?
Yes, we have a really beautiful section on the garden. I think that that garden is extremely magical, and it's really one of the few public places that's completely undisturbed and was allowed to actually grow entirely as Jensen had meant it to be growing, because it didn't meet with, say, like in Chicago, where the expressway cuts through it because they, you know, Mayor Daley Sr. decided to add that in years later. It didn't suffer any of that damage. And the Lincoln Memorial Garden is a great story also because when Jensen was commissioned to do it, there wasn't any money for plants. And so he got the Mrs. Walgreens and all these ladies of garden clubs to go out in their, heels and white gloves with their shovels to go dig out all the plants that he needed. He got school kids and kids from the Boys and Girl Scouts to go find acorn seeds, to plant acorns for future generations. And really what this garden represents is really Jensen's connection to the United States, because he, all the plants that are in this garden represent the plants that, from Lincoln's boyhood and adult homes. So they're really, a kind of testament to Lincoln himself. And Jensen said to Harriet Newton, who created the garden, "The great stone figures will crumble from the mountains as we pass through time, but this will last, a testament to the great and powerful Lincoln." And that is what he has created. So I encourage everybody to go and see this. It's a magical, magical place. It's exactly as Jensen wanted it to be.
I guess I could call myself the impatient gardener, because I like to see results, quickly. Most people do. He had to have a lot of patience with not only this project, but probably others that he did as well, to really look even generations ahead and see how his work would be viewed as the decades passed.
Landscapes are notoriously ephemeral and very difficult to keep up. And to maintain them in this sort of naturalistic look takes a lot of effort. But as a tree grows and it continues to mature over time, you begin to see something every year as that garden grows. You just see something new, and you see a kind of a world develop around you. And then one of the things that I learned from Jensen is that, yes, it does take time to create these things, to create these landscapes, and it takes a lot more time for them to really mature. But at the end of the day, what you have is sort of a latent message by somebody. It's sort of like the same as, I'm a filmmaker, and I feel like when I go into a Jensen landscape, a mature Jensen landscape, that when I enter the park, it's sort of like entering into a movie. There's a story being told to me by that landscape architect, and particularly by Jensen. And then I walk through the place, and I see and I hear more things that I didn't know before, and I begin to feel a certain way. And when I leave the park and I cross the street to the other side, the park is over and the movie's over. But what's still left over is that feeling that I had from being part of it.
You mentioned his early days in life, and seems to me those were probably very bittersweet times in his life. Was he a happy person? Do you get into his emotional well-being? What kind of guy was he?
Jensen was incredibly passionate. There are so many examples of him doing things like screeching like an eagle when he didn't get what he wanted. I mean, essentially, Jensen would get his way. I don't know how happy he was all the time, but I will say that he was a very driven and passionate human being. And if he wanted to make something happen, he did. If you think about it, the man, he came here to the United States in order to marry this woman that didn't have any land, so therefore she was not accepted by his family. He came here without any money. He didn't really have any education. But he was bitter about having to serve in the Prussian army. So, he came here like many immigrants to try to find a home and to try to find a democratic, life and to make his way in the United States, really starting, he came here when Chicago was considered the worst place on earth to live. So what would that be like for somebody? You leave your place and you say, oh, no, I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to be a farmer. I'm not going to not marry this woman, only to come here to find it's absolutely horrifying conditions. But out of that came, this great joy of his, which was to find landscape architecture and to find the prairie and to find himself in the prairie. A guy like him, you kind of take a look at what does it take to become a conservation leader? Well, it takes getting fired a lot. It takes having your name dragged through the papers and, people telling you never work here again. It takes getting back up again to do that, even though you have a family of six to feed. These are the kind of things that, these are the kind of decisions that somebody who is a great leader, becomes a great leader, these are the kind of decisions they're going to make to say, I'm going to get back up again and I'm going to keep doing this.
Well, I know in the film people will learn more about Jensen's life. What else do you hope people take away that view this?
Well, I hope that they take away that it is possible to create a difference in your own life as a result of adding green space or a garden and having access to that. I think that a lot of people are very overwhelmed by climate change and what that means, you know, now and going to the future. But what you can do, if you learn from Jensen, is you can change your neighborhood, and that's the way you change your life. And that's the way you deal with climate change. You deal with how do I make my own neighborhood better? And I think that's kind of the lesson that he brings, is the world might be at war, but there's something you can do here, and that thing is to change where you live when you walk and step outside your door. As a result of screening the film for teenagers from underrepresented neighborhoods of the Student Conservation Association, we discovered that teenagers were very drawn to his background and his life and his philosophy. His immigrant status, coming here, being penniless, he was still able to accomplish a lot. And one of the great things he accomplished was the Dunes Pageant of 1917, which drew 70,000 people. It was Earth Day, Woodstock, and Lawrence of Arabia all wrapped into one, you know. And how a man accomplishes that and basically changes public opinion through an artistic event is incredible. So I'm very excited about being able to influence young people, as you know, with Jensen's message, through real hands-on activities that can, you know, connect them, particularly kids that are, you know, perhaps at risk of never really connecting to the environment or thinking about it. And so I think in my mind as a filmmaker, I really, you know, am proud of the work, but what really, you know, in terms of my heart of hearts, what really makes me excited is to see kids really respond to this and say, you know what, I've really learned from him.